नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 7 ऑनवर्ड्स द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव। जय श्री श्री राधा बिहार ललिता विशाखा जी की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिता की जय। श्री श्री सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। दिस इज इन प्रोस मीटर देयरफॉर आई विल जस्ट रीड इट टेक्स्ट 7। तस्यः वा एवं मुक्तलिंगस्य भगवत ऋषभस्य योग माया वासना अवसनाय देह इमां जगतीं अभिमान भाषेन शंकर मनः कुंक वेंक कुताकन कुतकान दक्षिण कर्नाटकान देशान यदृच्छया उपगतः कूटकाचलो उपवन आस्य कृतास्म कवल उन्माद इव मुक्त मूर्धाजो संवित एव विचार। एक्चुअली लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव हैड नो मटेरियल बॉडी but due to yoga maya he considered his body material, and therefore because he played like an ordinary human being he gave up the mentality of identifying with it. Following this principle he began to wander all over the world. While traveling he came to the province of Karnataka in South India and passed through Konka, Venka and Kutaka. He had no plan to travel this way, but he arrived near Kutakachala and entered a forest there. He placed stones within his mouth and began to wander through the forest naked and with his hair disheveled like a madman. Ata samira vega vidhuta venu vikarshana jatagora davanalasta vanam alehihanaha saha tena dadaha. While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. अतः समीर वेग विद्युत वेणु विकर्षण जात उग्र दाव अनल। दिस फायर वॉज कॉज्ड बाय द फ्रिक्शन ऑफ द बैम्बूस विच आर बीइंग ब्लोन बाय द विंड। इन दैट फायर द एंटायर फॉरेस्ट नियर कुटकाचला एंड द बॉडी ऑफ लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव वर बर्न टू एशेस। दैट्स अ वर्स ऑन द बोर्ड, so please repeat. Ata samira vega viduta venu vikarshana venu vikarshana jata ugra davanala tad vanam alehihanaha सह तेन ददाह। सो अत देयरफॉर नो आई एम सॉरी अत देयर आफ्टर समीर वेग बाय द फोर्स ऑफ द विंड विदूत टॉस्ड अबाउट वेणु ऑफ बैम्बूस विकर्षण बाय द रबिंग जात प्रोड्यूस्ड उग्र फियर्स Davanala, a forest fire, tad, that, vanam, forest near Kutakachala, alelihanaha, devouring all around, saha, with, tena, that body, dadaha, burnt to ashes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: while he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of the bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burnt to ashes. Please repeat. While he was wandering about, a wild forest fire began. This fire was caused by the friction of bamboos, which were being blown by the wind. In that fire, the entire forest near Kutakachala and the body of Lord Rishabhdev were burnt to ashes. Purport. Such a forest fire can burn the external bodies of animals, but Lord Rishabhdev was not burned, although he apparently seemed so. Lord Rishabhdev is the super soul of all living entities within the forest, and his soul never burned by fire. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Adahyoyam, the soul is never burned by fire. Due to Lord Rishabhdev's presence, all the animals in the forest were also liberated from material encagement. Read two more verses. Yasya kilanu charitam upakarnya konkavinka kutakanam raja arhanama upashiksha kalav adharma ukrishyamane bhavitavyena vimohitaha swadharma patam akuto bayam apahaya kupata pakhandam asamanjasam nijamanishya manda sampravartavishyate. Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka and Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhdev and, imitating Rishabhdev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, the king Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which were free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheist system. Purport. When Lord Shri Krishna was present on this planet, a person named Paundraka imitated the four-handed Narayana and declared himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He desired to compete with Krishna. Similarly, during the time of Lord Rishabhdev, the king of Konka and Venka acted like Paramahamsa and imitated Lord Rishabhdev. He introduced a system of religion and took advantage of the fallen condition of the people in this age of Kali. It is said in Vedic literatures that people in this age will be more inclined to accept anyone as the Supreme Lord and accept any religious system opposed to Vedic principles. The people in this age are described as Manda Sumandamatayo. Generally, they have no spiritual culture and therefore they are very fallen. Due to this, they will accept any religious system. Due to their misfortune, they forget the Vedic principles. Following non-Vedic principles in this age, they think themselves the Supreme Lord and thus spread the cult of atheism all over the world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desitarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Nityananda Prabhu Ki Jai Vanchakalpatara Ubhishya Kripasandubhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithyananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So today morning, I was around 2 o'clock, you know, I suddenly woke up and I had a very startling realization. And then it also showed the realization that how little we understand. So, in a previous verse, in today's, in text 6, 5, I mean 5, text 5 and 6, Text 5 says that the mind is the root cause of lust, anger, greed, pride, greed and lamentation, illusion and fear. Combined, these constitute bondage to the fruitive activity. What learned man would put faith in the mind? So Prabhupada says the mind is the original cause of material bondage. It is followed by many enemies such as lust, anger, pride, greed, lamentation, illusion and fear. The best way to control the mind is to engage it always in Krishna consciousness. Since the followers of the mind bring about material bondage, we should be very careful not to trust the mind. Then in the next verse it says that if following the footsteps of Lord Rishabhdev, one can give up his subtle body, there is no chance that one will accept a material body again. So in that verse it is said that one must understand his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord as well. Both have the same spiritual identity. Maintaining oneself as a servant of the Supreme Lord, one should avoid rebirth in this world. So, a few days ago, I was in Mayapur and then one sannyasi was asking me about Lord Shiva and whether he had a spiritual body or material body. Anyway, we were discussing that. And we all know that Lord Shiva is a very special expansion of Krishna, and he is in touch with matter, but he doesn't have anything material about him, because Lord Shiva or Shankara is the head of the 11 Rudras, and they all at the end of the creation go into Sadashiva, and Sadashiva is eternal. But Lord Shiva has got a connection with the material world. And Prabhupada has given the example that he is like the warden of a prison house. The material world is like a prison. And the warden is not a prisoner, but his identity is only in terms of that prison. He is the warden of the prison. Like that, Lord Shiva is identified in relation to the material world as the, expansion of the Lord. So he is not a Jiva Tattva, but he is not also Vishnu Tattva, who has no connection with the material world. So it will be wrong to think that he has got a material body, but it will be wrong equally to say that he has nothing to do with matter. So therefore it is said Shiva Tattva is very difficult to understand, along with Krishna Tattva and Guru Tattva. So but the conclusion can be that although Lord Shiva has got no connection with the material world, he's got connection with the material world, he does not have a material body. But Prabhupada says here that both, even the living entity and the Lord, they have the same spiritual identity. So neither the Supreme Lord nor the pure soul nor Lord Shiva and not even the conditioned soul actually have a material body. They all have spiritual body. The material body is created by Krishna in his expansions as the three Vishnus. Matter is created by Mahavishnu, and the various elements are created by Garbhasaya Vishnu, and the various bodies are created and held together as Paramatma by Kshirasaya Vishnu. And these bodies actually work by themselves. We have no control over them. Therefore, you see, the external body is acting under the rules of nature, but even the subtle body is acting under the rules of karma. But the subtle body is saying, I. So the subtle body is actually, it gives us the mistaken understanding that it is somehow our experience. I am happy, I am sad, or I am angry, or I am lusty. And it acts by its own accord. And therefore it is impossible to control. If only we had a material body, we could actually control it. But we don't have a material body. That's the real problem. We are spirit soul, we are transcendental, and the material body is attached to us simply because of our original contamination to imitate the Lord. So that is said here. I have given sometimes the example how if a child wants to drive a motorcycle, which it cannot, then the father puts him on the motorcycle and he drives the motorcycle and makes the child believe that he is driving it. Similarly, due to false ego, the living entity is influenced into thinking that he is the doer, but ahankara vimudata kartaham iti manyate, but everything is taking place under Krishna's supervision. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate characharam. So the conditioned soul can do only one thing, which is to cut his attachment to the subtle body. That's what is being said here, that he has to give up the subtle body. And the subtle body is so powerful that it makes us think that we have this gross body, and it acts under the impulse of karma. And why does the small baby think he is driving the motorcycle? Because he actually has a desire to drive the motorcycle. He also believes he can drive, so that when it is driven, he thinks I am driving it. So the soul is actually, the impure soul, he has a desire to act like the Lord, and he believes he can act like the Lord. And so when the material bodies act like that, he thinks, oh, I am the doer. This is going on. Therefore Krishna says in the material world, trigunair mohitam, by actually being, completely bewildered by the three modes of nature, everybody in the material world think that they are the doers. And this is an extremely inconvenient position. And sometimes one is born as a brahmana, and sometimes one is born as an insect. But of course none of this affects the soul, but it's happening. This entire drama is enacted by the Lord in accordance with the desires and the karma of the souls. And it is so real that none of us actually believe that it is wrong, it is false. It is not possible. Even when we say, for example, that it is false, that will be said by the subtle body. So that our position is extremely bad. It is very difficult. And then in that condition, Prabhupada explains here, that people think that they are God. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnita ki jai, Shri 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 Taram Lakshman Man ki jai, Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Lalita Vishaka ji ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, it is an extremely difficult situation. Nobody has managed to get out of it in the material world from time immemorial. Hardly one person, Krishna says, ever becomes perfect. Manishyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatamati siddhanam kaschin mamveti tattvata. Hardly one person out of trillions and trillions, Krishna says, achieves perfection. So, it is not possible even for a conditioned soul to actually assess what is his system, what is his position, how he is suffering. And so, day after day, everybody discusses their material situation only, and simply, you know, of course, all that discussion is taking place by the mind and body, and simply the time is wasted. Every material body has got a certain amount of time that is allotted as its lifetime, and that lifetime is fixed. Sometimes it is fixed for the individual body. Even this object has got a lifetime after which it will decay. The body has some lifetime after which it will decay. And the universe also has a lifetime. And of course, these times are very scientifically described in the Bhagavatam, in the, you know, third canto, how to measure time, calculation of time from the atom, like that. And it's very difficult for us to understand. So the simple point is that the Prabhupada in the first canto writes that not only does the Lord have no material body, not only do the pure devotees don't have material body, but even the conditioned souls don't have a material body. They are pure, but they are totally entangled in the actions of the subtle and gross body because they have this contamination to enjoy like the Lord. Exactly like the child. You know, we must meditate on this point, that exactly like that child who is being driven on the motorcycle by the father, but he is made to think he is driving by the father, like that, the child believes that because he thinks that I can drive, I want to drive, he has a desire and he thinks I can drive. So, when we have this idea that I can enjoy like the Lord and I want to enjoy, so when the bodies act like that, we believe actually we are enjoying. So this body is a very complicated thing, material connections, subtle to gross body. And the gross body cannot be controlled, and neither the subtle body. But if we give up the connection to subtle body, then there is hope of coming out. So Prabhupada writes here in this purport that people are acting like, you know, they desire. So the material conditioned soul thinks he is God, and that is actually revealed in the way he acts. It is God's position to actually tell how to behave in the world. You see? So Prabhupada says that the Vedic knowledge is risk-free, but those who don't follow the Vedic principles, they concoct their own religion. They concoct this religion because they are thinking that the subtle and gross body is mine, or me, aham mameti, and they are thinking internally, they have desires to enjoy like the Lord, to perform, you know, all kinds of pastimes the Lord performs, and so the Lord is arranging the external energy. It's very difficult to understand it, and much more to overcome. Mamamaya durateya daivihi esha gunamayi. So, we should understand that this entire material world and the scriptures, they are actually compiled so that we can deeply understand what is our situation. It is impossible to understand it. Even the greatest demigods cannot understand. Muhyanti surayaha. Even the great demigods are bewildered. And they have got vast amounts of power, and they have got vast amounts of tapasya. It's not ordinary to do the kind of tapasya that demigods do. We cannot even mentally think what tapasyas they have done in order to become, you know, demigods. They're so perfect materially, and yet they cannot actually understand their situation because they are also under the illusion of the mind and body, and they think that I should enjoy.
So the entire Vedic religion, of all the religions, is so designed so that we can actually get out of the material conception of life. But there is a condition which we have to fulfill to get out of the material condition. So Prabhupada says here, consequently these peoples will naturally deride Vedic authority, the followers of Vedic authority, namely the Brahmanas and the devotees. So that is the whole thing. So we have to understand what exactly is the purpose of ISKCON. Why ISKCON has been set up? What is the purpose of ISKCON? Can you tell me? Spread Krishna consciousness. What is the purpose of ISKCON? To give a platform, to come together and chant. What is the purpose of ISKCON? Do you know? To spread? Okay, you're all on the platform of preaching. Wait. Where is my glasses? But what is it supposed to do for you, ISKCON? To practice devotional service, okay. Anybody else? To take us back to Godhead, yeah. To give us association of Vaishnavas, yeah, at the back, the Brahmachari. Back home, back to Godhead. Somewhat correct, but I can't estimate whether it's really correct. To revive our Krishna consciousness. Actually, the purpose of ISKCON is very subtle. It is actually to bring eventually to Krishna consciousness, to spread the message, everything. But the first ISKCON as a movement is meant for making Brahmanas, which is a material position. First step. In League of Devotees, when Prabhupada formed also, he said that, you know, wanted people to be trained as Brahmanas. In other words, if we want to be full-time devotees in ISKCON, the first step is you have to become a Brahmana. And ISKCON is meant for training everybody to become a Brahmana first. And the Vedic society is also meant, but that is not the highest goal of life. But that is a necessary precondition for being able to understand. That is why he said a little bit close, he said to understand ourselves and God. Somewhat okay. The necessary precondition for understanding God is that one must actually become a Brahmana. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dandamoha vinirmukta bhajante mam dridavarta. Unless we become free from our sinful activities, we actually cannot perform devotional service. Until that time, the external body and the mind will perform and we will be in the illusion that we are performing devotional service. This is just to be heard and not speculated upon. Am I doing devotional service? I am not. It's a fact about material existence. That's why it's called forest of material existence. So, this becoming a Brahmana basically was done generally in the material world by the Varnashrama society. So, therefore, there are Brahmanas, and Brahmanas, they are interested in moksha. Liberation. So many lifetimes they have to go on like that, but the point is that a Brahmana actually understands, I'm not the body, I'm spirit. Brahmana, you Brahmajana. So when we come to that platform, we can begin devotional service. Krishna says that. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. If you become Brahma Bhuta, then we can do devotional service. That means our movement is meant for. So generally, to become a Brahmana means one has to undergo samskaras and one has to progress. So the other varnas, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, they are all interested to some extent or not, to a greater extent or less, material enjoyment. So a Sudra remains, you know, the only ashrama that he can perform properly is Grahastha ashrama. He cannot be a brahmachari. Forget other things. So a Vaishya can train as a brahmachari, but he ends up as a Grahastha and dies as a Grahastha. A Kshatriya trains as a brahmachari, becomes a Grahastha, and finally he becomes Vanaprastha. You will see all the great Vedic kings, they went to the forest. Only the Brahmana can actually become a sannyasi. He goes through all the four stages. So, in one sense, it is true that unless you become a Brahmana, you cannot become actually liberated. So it is said that if you are in other caste, then you will have to be born. This whole thing is, you know, very difficult. Like last time I was during the GBC meetings, there was a discussion about Varnashrama Dharma. And like ISKCON, people also thought Varnashrama Dharma's primary purpose is to make everybody come to Krishna consciousness in steps. It's not. Varnashrama Dharma is meant for those who will not become devotees. That means the material world. So how to organize the business of material enjoyment in such a way that the Lord is pleased. That means we don't whimsically enjoy in the material world, but we follow rules and regulations, at least. So, when you follow Varnashrama Dharma, the Lord is pleased because even though we are administering poison to ourselves, trying to enjoy the senses, it is at least according to the Lord's prescription so that we will slowly, you know, listen when, you know, great devotees are sent to this world. So at least those who are in Varnashrama Dharma, they will not deride the Vedic authority. Even a Sudra is highly respectful of Vedic authority. But those who are not in that Varnashrama Dharma, Milechas, they actually deride Vedic authority. They say, what is this Vedic knowledge? Nonsense, it's useless. You see? Just yesterday I saw some interview of somebody, some big man, and Indian, and something was asked of him that, so then he said, no, I don't believe in idol worship. I believe in some supreme power and I respect it. So, impersonalist. But he is an important man in the society. So everybody in this world, everyone is an impersonalist to a greater or lesser extent. And therefore demoniac, and that reflects in the tendency to enjoy the material world. So the entire purpose of material life is to actually, you know, according to the Varnashrama Dharma, is to learn to obey authority, especially scriptural authority, and to conduct our life accordingly. It is not at all authorized in the Vedic scriptures that we can go and do whatever we want. I will go, I will study, I will go, I will marry, I will go, I will get a job, I will get children. These are all not authorized. You see, first of all, it has to be seen what is it that you can become, which, you know, stages you can follow. Like that, it is the rules and regulations are there, and the Brahmana knows that and he advises the society. So the Varnashrama Dharma is meant for actually making Brahmanas. And if we don't become Brahmanas, we cannot understand this whole point that this is not me. Not only this body is not me, the experiences are also not me. I was telling one senior devotee this time, I was in Mayapur, we were discussing, and I said, just as this table is external to you, Your experience is also external to you. It can exist without you. He was very surprised. He said, how can there be experience without the experiencer? Yes, it can be. So that very thing, that the notion that I am angry or I am happy, that I is coming from false ego, not from the soul. This is very deep. That I should not only, I am not this body, gross body, I am also not the subtle body. I am not the body means I am not the gross body, I am not the subtle body. So, I have to actually understand that I am not this experience also. So at that time, one completely keeps himself totally aloof from the entire material creation. There is, unfortunately I was looking about this Jadabharat, how his father was training him. And see, these are all not real, you see, the forest of enjoyment, I just opened it. So sometimes the conditioned soul is very aggrieved by the chastisement of his enemies and government servants who use harsh words against him directly or indirectly. But these are external to him, all this. So to really come to the platform of knowing that my experience is also not me, that requires extraordinary degree of decoupling from the material world, and that is can be achieved only by two people, the Brahmanas and the devotees. Therefore by Brahmana we mean those who are not favorable to devotional service, impersonalists. Although the devotees are also Brahmanas, but when we say devotees, so the materialistic class of people who are actually capable of at least giving up the material existence, a false conception of material life, they are called Brahmanas. And they have to be, Krishna says they have to be highly worshipped. So in the fifth canto it is also said in Rishabhdev's teachings that both the impersonalist and the personalist must be transcendentalist, sannyasis must be given respect. So sometimes there is a tendency to take up external positions. Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra are that, you know, Brahmachari, Grastha, Sannyasi. But we are none of this. Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, you know, Shudra Kenanai. Therefore, when one actually, unless one becomes a Brahmana, it is not possible for one to become a Vaishnava. That is given in the Shastra again and again and again. I already quoted, Esham Tu Andhagatam Papam, then Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Madbhaktim. You have to be Brahma Bhuta. But in Kali Yuga, people are, Prabhupada says, so fallen that they do not bathe, they deride standard Vedic knowledge, they concoct new lifestyles and religions. Everybody thinks that they can do whatever they want. That's only the position of Krishna. So Krishna can do everything because his achyuta is infallible and whatever he does will be perfect. But whenever we do something, anything, it will only cause disturbance. What is that verse? Utpataiva kalpate. Sruti smriti puranadi pancharatraisya vidhim vina aikanteki harir bhakti utpataiva kalpate. Even up to the limit of performing hari bhakti, if one is actually performing it on his own, it can only cause disturbance. I remember long time back there was one elderly ladywho used to come to BI, and she was having in her house, even before she came to ISKCON, Sitaram deities, and she was worshipping. I love deity worship. So I said, that's not bhakti. Because you love it and you are doing it. Bhakti really means that somebody who loves Krishna tells you something to do and you do it blindly. Means with faith. That is bhakti. Not I do what I like for Krishna, that's not bhakti. But we do what Krishna wants, that is bhakti. To do what I like for Krishna, that is called spontaneous bhakti. So that is raganuga, bhakti is later. Just like when you drive a car in the beginning, when you are learning to drive, if you go wherever you want to go, it will only cause accident. Because you have not learned driving. So in the beginning, you have to drive according to the guy who tells you, who is teaching you. He says stop, you have to stop. He says go forward, you have to go forward. Later when you have learnt and you got license, then you can drive the car yourself. So bhakti must be followed according to procedure, otherwise we will create disturbance and we will see that in our lives happen. That means we have somewhere allowed our mind to actually influence us. And mostly everybody does devotional life according to their own concoction. We have to be very careful. We may think I am just following, but if we actually examine, we will see my position is not very good. And the indication is that you are not free from the mind. We do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. So, in the very beginning, the whole society has to be trained systematically to come to the Brahminical platform. Everybody, if they follow the Varnashrama system, eventually they can come to that platform, then they can come to know Vishnu, they can become Vaishnava, and then they can go back. So this process is very long and very difficult. Bahunam Janmanam Ante, you can take millions of lifetimes. So in that, the getting the Diksha mantras and becoming a Brahmana is the highest place in material life. But for Krishna consciousness, that's the beginning point. Liberation is when Krishna consciousness begins. But how can people become liberated? We are all so fallen and we are so dirty. People don't even take bath after passing stool. They don't even wash themselves when they pass stool. They use paper. That means 24 hours they remain dirty. How can they actually perform devotional service, deity worship? Because deity worship is the method by which one can become liberated. One can become a Brahmana. So in the olden days this was there. So in different yugas, all Vedic panthas is meant for liberating people from the false conception that I am this body, which means I am not this body, I am not this I. The Mayavadis are correct that the I is an illusion. But Vaishnavas accept that, because that's a material I. But Vaishnavas accept there is a spiritual I which Mayavadis don't know. They don't think in spirit there is variety. So Mayavadis and Vaishnavas agree that the idea of the individuals is an illusion. Not individual soul, but the individual is an illusion. And spirit is a platform of reality. The Mayavadis say spirit has no variety. The Vaishnavas say, no, spirit has got supreme personality of Godhead and individual souls. And the relation between them called bhakti. Anyway, that is a very deep topic. But we may think like we know, but that's a very deep topic. But at least basically, we should try to understand what is the position. We are so engrossed in matter that we have no way of even knowing what is my situation. Because it's all by the mind. Whether you drink whiskey or whether you speak about the Vedas, it has no value. From the viewpoint of the Vaishnava. From the viewpoint of the liberated soul. E bhava, e manda, arasa brahma. That this is good, this is bad, it is all our illusion. So Prabhupada said, somebody may be a great brahmana, somebody could be a third grade debauchee, somebody is in tamagun, somebody is in sattogun, it's all the same. It's all different types of, what is it called? The thing that you put, handcuffs, which are made of gold or silver or iron, but ultimately we are Muslim. This cannot be understood, we can hear. So what happens? Ebit mohitam jagat trigunai. So bewildered by this, three gunas are very difficult to understand. But bewildered, we are actually, everybody is only, you know, we are all simply perturbed by material situations which are alien to us. And everybody's questions will be only in those terms. Prabhu, I am doing this, how can I do that? What is this I? This is nonsense. So, Prabhupada once asked some, where is that devotee? He said, no, Prashila Prabhupada is in Radhakund, very beginning of the movement. What is he doing? He said, he says that he wants to chant 64 rounds. He says, no, they said, he says, I want to chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, I want to chant. then already you are nonsense. There's nothing I. Why are you chanting? Because Prabhupada asked me to chant. There's nothing like I want to chant. Why are you performing devotional service? Because Prabhupada asked me to do it. We should never say, I am doing this, I am doing that because I like to do. I want to become a devotee. It's nonsense. Whether we become a devotee or not, Krishna decides. We don't know. By our calculation, I may be a great, somebody may think I am a great devotee. And the world also may say, but in Krishna's book, he may be a very, very, negative person. You know, we know the story of the Brahmana and the cobbler. Cobbler was a devotee. The Brahmana was a Brahmana. Therefore, the cobbler's position was superior to the Brahmana. And remarkably, we will see that Rishabhdev's son, Jadabharat, King Bharat, becomes Jadabharat, becomes a Brahmana, and but still he right from birth he rejects it. The Mahabhagavat. His father is trying to teach him all the Vedic things, he just totally rejects it. So this whole process, we must realize that what is actually Krishna consciousness. So if you think that ISKCON is meant for, if you don't understand ISKCON, you will have a wrong and position. That's what I understood today morning. I woke up at 2 o'clock, sudden, and this thing came, hit me like this, and I said, wow, I didn't even understand this. So you must understand that this divyam jnanam dadati papak shankshayam. See, getting transcendental knowledge and getting rid of sins, there are two stages. One is you are a Brahmana, the other is when you get Swarupa Siddhi. So the transcendental knowledge could be I am not the body, then also you become free from sins, but it's a temporary position in a very long term. You can fall down even if you go to moksha. But devotee, he means he is, Swarupa Siddhi has achieved. So the Krishna consciousness movement, which is very special, otherwise the Vaishnava path, is in the material world also, it comes, it's very difficult, but when it is presented in the material world, especially in Krishna consciousness, it is a process in which you, right from the beginning, you chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that first there must be Purascharya. A Purascharya is the process by which we must become clean. It is not a process by which we can become Brahmanas. Although we could if we follow perfectly, but we won't. But if we enter at least the basics of Purascharya, which Prabhupada says in the morning and evening you should worship the deity and you should chant Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna is a part of Purascharya chanting there. But in that verse, the verse itself says chanting of Hare Krishna does not depend on Purascharya or the Brahminical initiation, Diksha Mantras. They are not necessary. So up to first and second initiation, these are not necessary. But they can help you in the material world to become at least a basic platform of cleanliness. Otherwise we were not even getting up in the morning. None of us. We were not getting up in the morning. We were not even brushing teeth. People eat as soon as they get up. Or they smoke as soon as they get up. And then maybe they can brush their teeth, but they'll then sit and eat and something and then they'll go. People are very dirty, basically like animals. Where are we going to? Now we wake up in the morning, at least we dry, take bath and we put on tilak and we come to the programs. So that is the beginning process, but this is a very accelerated process. Because there is a stage in which one actually receives the holy name from the lips of a transcendental pure devotee. It is called Suddhanam. These points were discussed this time. We had a meeting, the bureau meeting. It was very nice. Everybody was very happy. Vanaswami made a presentation and I made a presentation and lost this point. They were discussed in much more depth, very fast, because people are a little experienced there. But I'm just explaining the basic things here in great detail. So it is by actually chanting the holy name we become perfect. And it has got many stages and we have to know that. But we have to go from the process of Purascharya chanting to the process of pure chanting. Suddhanam. We should go from offensive chanting to Namabhas to offenseless chanting to pure chanting. We must go. For that we should recognize that there is actually another initiation that Prabhupada calls the Vaishnava initiation that has to be obtained. So this entire process is not based on first and second initiation, but it's based on Vaishnava Diksha. So very difficult points, but you have to understand it's all written in Prabhupada's books. So the ISKCON movement is meant actually for making people clean and straight away become pure devotees. And in the process, they become brahmanas. So very powerful process. So the first and second initiation, like Jiva Goswami says, is essential for everybody in the material world. But by if you became a brahmana like that, maximum you can get moksha. You cannot become a Vaishnava. That process cannot make you a Vaishnava. What can make you Vaishnava? Hare nama, hare nama, hare nama, iva kevalam, kalau nastieva, nastieva, nastieva gatir. There is no other process. Satkarma nipno, vipro, mantra, tantra, visharadaha, avaishnava or guru nasyat. Of course, it's talking about becoming a guru, but the more point is that you have to become a Vaishnava, and none of these are Vaishnavas. Vipra, satkarma nipuna, mantra, tantra, visharad. These all have different meanings. Vipra means what? But all these who are experts in Vedic knowledge, they are actually not Vaishnavas. But if you don't become a Vipra, you cannot become a Vaishnava. Prabhupada, in a famous morning walk, Prabhupada says that if somebody becomes a Brahmana and becomes Brahman realized, then he can be given Vaishnava Diksha and he becomes a neophyte devotee. He's a neophyte devotee. He says, but following Narada Muni, we are trying to make everybody directly a Vaishnava. So that Vaishnava process is not simple, it is mystical and transcendental and its steps are clearly defined. But what happens is, when we take this first and second initiation to be the most important in life, we become cheated. This first and second is meant for actually giving us a framework within which we can advance. But Prabhupada writes in Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that before first and second initiation, or during or after, you can get Vaishnava initiation. Prabhupada writes that as far as that type of diksha goes, no time, place is required, no procedures. Even if it's a forest, if he meets the paka, pure devotee, one must receive diksha from him, regardless of any other consideration. So, very important point. So, therefore, the entire point here is that Rishabhadev actually showed how to withdraw from gross body and subtle body so that we can actually become transcendental. Prabhupada says he is teaching the people of Kali Yuga this process. But this was taught at a time and then later people concocted it, this king, Arhat. Whereas actually, in this yuga, Srila Prabhupada has, so he knows everything so perfectly that he has created this movement. So, we can follow the ISKCON processes, but ISKCON is only a movement for bringing people to the beginning stage of Purascharya, deity worship and chanting Hare Krishna. And if you want to actually get the Suddhanam and become delivered and go back to Godhead, you need the mercy of the pure devotee. No matter where he is, and find him and surrender to him. That is what the Shastras say. The Shastras say, Guru Mabhigachet Samit Panini Sostriyam Tad Vijnanartham Eva. How can I know how to chant purely? Tad Vijnanartham Eva Guru Mabhigachet. And who is that guru? He is the person who has seen the transcendental truth. So we will see in the material world we are suffering a lot. We are suffering a lot. Even the great, great personalities, Jada Bharat was, as King Bharat, he had come to the platform of Bhava. And simply an attachment to the deer make him fall down and he became a deer. Deer means there was an external deer body around him, but he was continuing his tapasya. He was not affected by the deer body. That's what is meant by the Lord gave him. So he could see, he was doing this complete, you know, he was in what is Bhava stage, and then suddenly, you know, he got identified with some external things, and there was some deer, and it died, and then it's time for this body to go, and still there was some meditation, and then the deer body came, and he saw, oh, but he didn't think I am the deer. Krishna protected him, because he's the king of the planet. Great personality. At such an young age, he gave up everything and he went. Bharat was the emperor of the whole world and he had a young wife, everything he had given up. So Krishna said, no. He said, don't worry. So he was still continuing his prema, you know, what is that? Whatever stage he was in, I said, Bhava stage, and he was continuing. And the body, deer body was going hither and there. He was not affected by that as a soul. And then that body died, and suddenly another Brahminical body came. He said, I'm not attached to this either. I shall not. So that soul was continuing his transcendental march. And then as Jada Bharat, it externally, completely, perfectly manifested it for those who could see. Only Veda Vyas could see it. Therefore he could write it. But when he was there, that's why he had to see past, present and future and present. When he was there, everybody thought he was a fool. And his brothers thought, we will, you know, he's a useless fellow, we'll ditch him. His father also died. And then he wandered. And then finally he met Rahugana. Then the power of his knowledge came out. And then whatever he spoke is part of Srimad Bhagavatam, eternally enshrined. So, the difference between spiritual life and material life is very great. No matter what happens in the external plane, we can maintain our consciousness if we actually understand what is the purpose of ISKCON. ISKCON by itself is not sufficient to deliver you what to speak of the world. It is an instrument. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. And so you have to understand how is the process of deliverance to be accepted, and we must make progress in that, otherwise we will be mistaking. So from that viewpoint, whatever you said, from external preaching and all, that's fine, it will bring people to Prasarya. They will also put tilak and, you know, dhoti kurta and chant. That's all right. But if you are also in the same stage, what's the point? If you want to become more advanced, we have to understand where to go, how to get the real. Otherwise it is like honey in the bottle and out to go. Anyway, I have already taken too much time. I'm sorry. Any questions or comments? Come again? Right. That is described there, that's external, for other people. Just like Sita went, Mother Sita went into fire. She went to Agni Lok, and the Maya Sita came. Of course, Rishabhdevi is eternal. It can give any kind of appearance. Krishna also, the hunter put an arrow, externally people thought, Krishna left a body. That is why he sent Uddhava to explain even to Naranarayana. That's another story. There are many, many descriptions of that. No, but nobody could see it. He did. Oh, he left a body. Excuse me, sir. He did. That's why he had to send Uddhava to Naranarayana to explain. Of course. But he can also give the effect that body is left. The point is, Rishabhdev's body was transcendental. It cannot be, even we cannot be burnt by fire. Adahyoyam, akledyam, asoshyevacha. So even if we cannot be cut, dried or moistened, where is the question of Lord? That's a very minor point. We just have to accept that is an external thing. That's what they'll say. That's the pastime. Rama cried when Mother Sita was taken. Ve Sita! Like that. Now you cannot say, they should not say that Rama cried. They should say Rama made the pastime of crying. No. So like that they can't say here, Rishabhdev didn't get actually burnt, but it appeared to others like it burnt. That's the way it is. Everybody knows what is being meant. They relish it. Oh, Rama was crying like that. What did he say? And then he said so many things, it is described in Valmiki Ramayana, and it's wonderful. He actually says how much he is missing his consort. You follow? I'm saying that you understand that he was not crying. Same like this, we have to understand. It is not burnt. You cannot ask how it is burnt. It is not burnt. That's how it appeared. That is Prabhupada describes in the purport. Soul is not burnt. Where is the question of Supreme Lord? The organization.
Yeah, but also, Shilapada himself indicated that in his previous books, all realms of realization are possible.
No. No. He showed me something like that, but I'll show you the opposite. See, no. Go to Chaitanya Charitamrita 15108 and read the purport. It's a long purport. No. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, we cannot go back to Godhead. Then, it is not like just a bunch of fools get together and then we'll go back to Godhead. We are fools. We have to recognize that. And Prabhupada is different from his books. Simultaneously one and different from his books. Prabhupada is not exhausted by his books. He is also there. So unless you actually get the mercy of the pure devotee, and that comes in many forms. So we cannot eliminate the pure devotee person and say only ISKCON is sufficient. No. That is why ISKCON is meant for bringing people to Prabhupada. Or whoever says I am a pure devotee, whatever is the system, that I am. There is no question now. Even during Prabhupada's time, ISKCON was meant for bringing people in touch with Prabhupada. So, we come to ISKCON, we perform, but this is not, if we just go on like that, Prabhupada says it's purascharya. There is a letter I read in this meeting, Prabhupada says that if without getting the mercy of the pure devotee, one can go on chanting forever and nothing will happen. So, Prabhupada's letter from 67, everyone was very surprised. Prabhupada said, only a pure devotee can give you Krishna in his name. And anyone who is not a pure devotee who claims to give that is a rascal. Prabhupada writes that. So we cannot marginalize Prabhupada. Yeah, yeah, he's very... In fact, Prabhupada is more important than ISKCON. And I say Prabhupada, whomever you want, you can keep. There is some Shastra, I mean, that's what was discussed, but I can't discuss all that. That's why I said you go to 15108, and that's a very... Prabhupada himself writes in another place that everyone should consult this verse as regard to understanding Diksha. If you want to understand Diksha, Prabhupada says, consult CC 15108. That he has written in Chaitanya Charitamrita in 22nd chapter. Therefore, we must do it. And there everything is written. Hare Krishna.
No, what I could understand from your explanation was that Islam helps the devotee to become a Brahman.
No. No, no. No, ISKCON offers much more, no. ISKCON offers that which is otherwise not possible in Kali Yuga, to become clean and Brahmanical. But it also offers you pure devotion. But that part comes from the Mahabhagavat. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in CC, that he quotes Jiva Goswami, by no ecclesiastical arrangement convention you can get that pure devotee. It's not an ecclesiastical convention. You have not understood what I said. It's not possible for you to understand. Just listen and think very deeply. You cannot just in one thing, you won't be able to understand. Mainly when you say, I understand, it's your mind. So be very careful. Yeah. Somebody had a question. We'll stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.